Picture Warren Buffett standing before a crowd of thousands, telling them exactly how to build wealth. They listen intently, nod in agreement, applaud enthusiastically, then walk out and do the exact opposite. This isn't fiction. It's the strange reality of modern investing. The world's most successful investor consistently advocates for index funds, declaring that the know-nothing investor can actually outperform most investment professionals. Yet somehow, this wisdom gets lost between admiration and action. We frame his quotes, study his annual letters, and celebrate his genius, while simultaneously paying high fees to active managers who underperform the very index funds Buffett champions. It's like asking a master chef for their secret recipe, receiving detailed instructions, then deciding to cook something entirely different. The question isn't whether Buffett's advice works. Decades of evidence confirm it does. The real mystery is why we find it so difficult to follow. Markets operate on mathematical certainty. Picture the market as a pie. Every investor owns a slice. If passive investors collectively earn 10%, active investors must also collectively earn 10% before expenses. This is arithmetic, not opinion. When one active investor outperforms by overweighting winners, another must underperform by underweighting those same stocks. This zero-sum game becomes negative-sum once we factor in costs, fund expenses, trading costs, commissions, and cash drag. Active investors as a group must underperform passive investors because their costs run significantly higher. This holds true across all market conditions. The implication is stark. Active management isn't just difficult, it's mathematically designed to underperform after costs. Yet Wall Street obscures this truth because active management generates far higher fees and creates exciting narratives that keep investors engaged in trading. The data tells a devastating story for active management. Individual investors consistently buy stocks that subsequently underperform and sell ones that later outperform. The most active traders perform worst, with overconfidence directly correlating to poor results. Men earn lower returns than women due to excessive trading, while even Mensa members, supposedly among the brightest minds, underperformed the S&P 500 by 13% annually over 15 years. Perhaps most striking, investors overestimate their own performance by an average 11.5% annually, with three quarters actually underperforming relevant benchmarks. The mutual fund industry fares no better. Studies show no persistent outperformance beyond random chance, with expenses reducing returns on a one-for-one basis. Morningstar discovered that expense ratios predict returns better than their own star ratings. Simply choosing the lowest cost funds produces superior results. Even pension plans, with their access to top managers, professional consultants, lower fees, and tax exemptions, fail to beat markets consistently. They hire managers with past outperformance, but this advantage disappears post-hiring. Fired managers often outperform their replacements, and the number beating benchmarks is no greater than pure chance would predict. To invest like Buffett, develop a mental framework that interprets information differently. He thrives in bear markets by understanding what eludes most. What matters isn't whether news is good or bad, but whether it's better or worse than expected. Market prices already reflect available information, so they fall only when news disappoints expectations. In 2010, commercial mortgage defaults hit 9%, yet these investments soared because defaults weren't as catastrophic as priced in. This separates stage one from stage two thinking. Stage one thinkers see only crisis. Stage two thinkers anticipate government responses. From March 2009 through March 2011, markets never flashed a safe signal despite a 100% S&P 500 rally. Those who sold during crisis and waited for safety either never returned or bought at the worst time, taking stock risks while earning bond-like returns. Most investors begin without an investment policy statement, a written roadmap outlining objectives and strategies. Wall Street prefers it this way. Their winning strategy depends on your lack of planning. A proper investment plan allows rational evaluation of how investments affect portfolio risk and expected returns. Your plan must consider three dimensions of risk: your ability to take risk, determined by investment horizon, income stability, and human capital; your willingness to take risk, based on your capacity to withstand market stress without abandoning your strategy; and your need to take risk, dictated by the returns required to achieve your financial objectives. These three factors vary widely between individuals and change throughout life. A government employee with bond-like income stability can take more risk with financial assets than a commissioned salesperson with volatile earnings. Avoid concentrating investments in assets correlated with your human capital, especially your employer's stock. This mistake devastated Enron and WorldCom employees who lost both jobs and retirement savings simultaneously. Your written investment policy statement should specify goals, contribution schedules, target accumulation, withdrawal plans, asset allocation targets, and rebalancing boundaries. Think of it as a contract with your future self, a commitment device that prevents emotional decisions during market turbulence. Most investors fail to capture diversification's benefits, the only free lunch in investing. They concentrate holdings in familiar companies, particularly their employer stock, and underweight international investments. Building true diversification requires at least 50 stocks for U.S. large cap exposure alone, making mutual funds the only practical path. But diversification isn't about owning many funds. It's about spreading investments across different asset classes. Starting with a conventional 60-40 stock bond portfolio using just the S&P 500 and 5-year treasuries from 1975-2011, we can dramatically improve performance. By adding small cap stocks, value stocks, international stocks, and a small commodities allocation, returns increased from 10.6% to 12.1%, a 15% relative increase, while volatility rose only 4%. Alternatively, increasing bonds to 60% while maintaining diversified stock exposure achieved higher returns with 27% less volatility. This demonstrates that passive investing delivers market returns, not average returns. Distinguish between compensated risk, like general stock market exposure that offers higher expected returns, and uncompensated risk, like single company exposure that offers no reward. Eliminate uncompensated risk by using index funds that own entire asset classes rather than individual securities. Passive investing frees you to win the more important game of life. One doctor nearly lost his family while day trading, glued to market movements instead of engaging with his wife and children. After adopting a passive approach, he reconnected with his family and rediscovered joy in his practice. A financial professional calculated he regained 6 weeks annually by abandoning active management, time previously spent reading financial publications, watching market news, and tracking performance. He redirected those hours to family, community service, and hobbies. The greatest tragedy in investing isn't underperformance, it's missing out on life while pursuing it. By obsessing over beating the market, most investors sacrifice the very things that make life worth living. Buffett's success comes not from analyzing market noise, but from understanding businesses and making rational decisions. In a world selling excitement and promises of outsized returns, we've forgotten that investing was never meant to be thrilling. It's about achieving financial goals with minimal risk while focusing on what truly matters: family, faith, education, dreams, and meaningful pursuits. Your most precious resource isn't money, it's time. Reclaim it.